This is the Adventist World Radio, and you are listening to The Voice of Hope. For more information, please feel free to write to us. Our email address is bible@awr.org, or you could also call us on WhatsApp at +1 224 222 0777.
Hello and welcome to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Dr. Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson, and produced in the studios of WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. I'm Jeff White. This is edition NWS 796 for release on Sunday, May 26, 2024. On WaveScan today, Radio Earth, more about CKLW, and more from the DocuFunk archives in Austria. In our historical feature on April 7th about shortwave broadcasting in the U.S. state of Texas, we mentioned at the end that KCBI broadcast a delayed relay of the early DX program from Adventist World Radio in Pune, India. The program title at the time was Radio Monitors International. The AWR studios were located in suburban Pune, and the broadcast from station KCBI was on the air under the auspices of Radio Earth in October 1985. It occurred to our editors that we have never done a feature on Radio Earth, and that it's very interesting story really deserves to be told, because in part it's the story of how I first became involved in shortwave radio as anything more than a listener. In a way, it also charts the path of how I got to where I am today, here with WRMI. Ray Robinson in Los Angeles has all the background.
Thanks, Jeff. The idea for Radio Earth began in 1978 with a conversation between Jeff White and John Beebe, who at the time were both college students in DeKalb, Illinois. They also both worked part-time as radio news reporters for WNIU-FM in DeKalb. One day, when they were sitting around the newsroom chatting, they discovered they were both shortwave listeners, and John was intrigued by Jeff's idea of creating a commercial shortwave station. They began seriously researching what it would take to start such a station and enlisted the help of two friends, Michael Poulos, who was a lawyer in Evanston, Illinois, and John Freeberg, who was chief engineer at WNIU-FM. Over the course of the next 5 years, they spent thousands of hours researching in public libraries, writing and rewriting reports and proposals, and meeting with many people about advertising, engineering, legal and programming matters that had need to be worked out. Their goal was to put a commercial shortwave station in the Caribbean to broadcast worldwide. They got verbal permission from Montserrat to put in 7 100-kilowatt transmitters and 7 TCI log periodic antennas beamed in different directions. And then, of course, they needed to find investors, which proved very difficult. Rudy Espinal, director of the shortwave service of Radio Clarín in the Dominican Republic, joined the Radio Earth team, and he was very helpful in securing an agreement to carry the Radio Earth programming via Radio Clarín's 50-kilowatt shortwave transmitter in Santo Domingo, to avoid them having to build out their own station in Montserrat before they could even start broadcasting. And then in May 1983, Radio Earth was successful in securing advertising contracts from the Curaçao Tourist Bureau and also holding company Curaçao, which owns several hotels. So they decided to set up a studio on that Dutch-owned island in the Southern Caribbean where they could record their flagship program entitled The World and then ship tapes up to Santo Domingo for broadcast each day, Monday to Saturday, over Radio Clarín's shortwave transmitter on 11700 kHz. Jeff White agreed to go to Curaçao to present the program, but since it'd take more than one person to produce a top-quality one-hour show every day, they also persuaded Matt Bell, another former WNIU newsman turned radio producer, to go along. They sent studio equipment from Chicago to Curaçao and set it up in the Curaçao Hilton Hotel. Matt and Jeff ended up co-presenting the show, which consisted of a variety of feature reports and interviews, segments contributed by David Monson in Europe, a mailbag show on Fridays, and a Saturday communications-oriented segment called Dialogue. Once the tapes arrived in Santo Domingo, Rudy Espinal inserted up-to-the-minute newscasts and also added a locally produced regional music program called This Is the Caribbean.
Radio Earth welcomes your letters, suggestions, and reception reports. You may write to Radio Earth at its studios in the Hilton Hotel, Curaçao, Netherlands, Antilles.
From our studios at the Curaçao Hilton in Curaçao, Netherlands, Antilles, Radio Earth presents The World.
Good evening. I'm Matt Bell.
And I'm Jeff White. On tonight's show, we'll be telling you a good bit about Curaçao.
We'll take you to downtown Willemstad for the Bon Copa Festival.
David Johnson will take us to Zaventem Airport in Brussels, Belgium.
And, of course, Rudy Espinal will present This Is the Caribbean.
Tonight's edition of The World is brought to you by the Curaçao Tourist Bureau, holding company Curaçao, and Dominicana Airlines.
Radio Earth broadcasts each evening, Monday through Saturday, at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That's 0330 Greenwich Mean Time, via the facilities of Radio Clarion in Santo Domingo, on 11.7 megahertz shortwave.
Radio Earth,
presenting the world to the world.
First, here's Rudy Espinal with the latest news from our studios in Santo Domingo.
Mingo, Dominican Republic, with the world's news roundup. Caracas, Venezuela. Central America is on the edge of an armed catastrophe, according to declarations made by the president of the Spanish government, Felipe González.
It was a jam-packed hour and very eclectic, with Jeff and Matt talking informally with the listeners and with each other. They didn't read scripts. They described their philosophy as being simple people-to-people communication to promote understanding, friendship, and goodwill. They tried each day to present the world to the world in a unique, interesting, entertaining, and unbiased manner. The response from shortwave listeners was incredible, but in spite of that, they still had trouble getting and keeping sponsors. At the end of 1983, Radio Earth moved from Radio Clarín to WRNO, the Rock of New Orleans, where it was heard on 6185 kHz at 0400 UTC in the North American winter and 0300 UTC in the summer. The studios were moved back to the United States and set up in Miami with an address of Box 69, Miami, Florida 33243. Unfortunately, during the summer of 1984, they had some disagreements with Joe Costello at WRNO and ended up moving back to Radio Clarín from Monday the 24th of September 1984. Here's an off-air audio clip of a very young-sounding Jeff White presenting the start of the mailbag program the previous Friday night, the 21st of September 1984, via WRNO.
You're listening to WRNO Worldwide, the rock of the world.
The following program comes to you from Radio Earth, an independent broadcasting company. Radio Earth is not affiliated with any political or religious organization, and its funding comes entirely from the sale of commercial advertising. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Radio Earth or its advertisers. We welcome your comments, suggestions, and reception reports. Our address is Radio Earth, 1724 Sherman Avenue, Evanston, Illinois, 60201, USA. Radio Earth presents The World, a daily program of human interest. Tonight's edition of The World is brought to you by the Curaçao Tourist Board. Curaçao, the island with a style of its own. By Spectronics, where service and quality tell the story. By Grove Enterprises, a company committed to customer satisfaction. And by Sony, the one and only.
Oh, yeah, Yes, we have. Good evening, everybody. I'm Jeff White in Chicago. Radio Earth, North America's number one commercial shortwave service, has found a new home. That's Jimmy Buffett singing to us there. This is our mailbag program Friday night, but first of all, let me tell you a little more. Yes, on Monday, the 24th of September, this coming Monday, Radio Earth is moving. You'll hear us at the same time, 0300 Coordinated Universal Time. That's 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. But on a different frequency, the one we've been alluding to in some previous programs, and that is, of course, 11.7 megahertz, which is to say 11,700 kilohertz, via the facilities of Radio Clarín in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got some great ideas. I'm going to be in Santo Domingo Monday night, and we should be doing, hopefully, a live show with Rudy Espinal and our audio engineer, Candido Ventura, there in the studios of Radio Clarín. We are going to have a lot of fun. We've got some great program ideas. Radio Earth is always looking for ways to serve you better, and I think we've made a good choice, and I think that we will, that you, the listener, will benefit from all of this. Now, some of you in parts of North America may find that reception is not as good on Radio Clarín as it was on WRNO. Others of you may find, for example, on the West Coast, that Clarín's reception is better than WRNO's. There are some trade-offs always in everything that you do, but considering the circumstances, I think we probably did the best thing. So that starts again Monday. Monday, the 24th of September, 0300 UTC. Okay, that's actually Tuesday if you want to go by UTC days, but it's Monday night in North America. And the time, 0300 UTC, the frequency 11.7 megahertz via Radio Clarín. Jot that down, and we hope you'll be joining us, because next week we are going to be doing a lot of new things in the way of programming that we have not been able to do up until now for various limitations. We are going to be doing live programs from Santo Domingo. That will give us a lot more flexibility. We're going to have a lot more audience participation in our programming. I'll leave it at that for now. And trying some new ideas. Rudy Espinal will be on there every night with me, with Caribbean music and information. And, well, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. We will be on WRNO on this frequency, 6.185 megahertz, through the end of this week. That is to say, tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday night. And then on Monday night, same time, but different frequency, 11.7 megahertz. Okay, we'll mention that again later on in the program for those who might not have tuned in up until this point. This is, as I mentioned, the mailbag program, as we do every Friday night, and we have so much mail, you wouldn't believe it. Or I don't believe it. Well, I do, because I see it here, but we are probably going to also tomorrow night have a special mailbag program in addition to our regular DX news, so that we can deal with a lot of this mail that's coming in here. But let's see, we'll get started with the mailbag, but we have to first mention a couple of our sponsors.
Earth is offering listeners a pre-Christmas privilege tour to Curaçao in the Netherlands Antilles. It's full studio location. The tour, which runs from December the 15th...
So Jeff White relocated for a while to Santo Domingo to present Radio Earth programs live from that location. Radio Earth was later carried by KCBI in Texas, WHRI in Indiana, and by a couple of European shortwave stations. They still wanted to put their own station on the air, and Curaçao was willing to give them both a license and a place to put the station, but they were never able to raise enough money to do that. Well, to cut a long story short, Jeff left Radio Earth in 1985 to focus on some other shortwave ventures, including Radio Discovery in Santo Domingo. After that, he moved back to Miami and started freelancing as a news reporter for several other shortwave stations. He also began brokering airtime on Radio Clarín, on KCBI, WHRI, and WWCR, which is the backstory to the comment referenced in the introduction to this piece today, where it was stated that the AWR-RMI program, the forerunner to Wavescan, was heard over station KCBI under the auspices of Radio Earth for a few weeks in October 1985. Jeff had helped place that program on KCBI. Through his program brokering sideline, Jeff was contacted by some Cuban exile organizations who wanted to broadcast on shortwave to Cuba. Eventually, he connected with an engineer affiliated with the Cuban American National Foundation, which wanted to start its own shortwave station. But they had problems getting a license, So they asked the engineer and Jeff to try making a joint application to the FCC, which was successful. And that became the original WRMI in Hialeah, about 5 miles northwest of downtown Miami. And we all know what that's grown into. The rest, as they say, is history. So way to go, Jeff, on eventually achieving your vision of owning and operating a very successful commercial shortwave radio station.
Well, thanks, Ray. It was a long and arduous journey, and along with a lot of work, there was some luck involved also. But it was a great experience. I remember someone once introduced me to a guy as the manager of Radio Earth, and he replied, "That's a big planet." Next week, Ray will have the final part of the Zenith radio story, covering the period from the mid-1930s to the mid-1950s.
News is all over Windsor Essex, and one station has got you covered.
You're listening to AM 800 CKLW, an iHeartRadio station.
Last week on Wavescan, Ray Robinson's feature was about the iconic radio station CKLW in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Our Wavescan listener, Martin Dawson, in Prince Edward Island, Canada, sent the following interesting comments. He said, "I was listening to Wavescan, and I was both interested and surprised that you mentioned that you were going to feature CKLW radio. I grew up in Windsor, Ontario, when the Big 8 was at its peak of popularity. Tom Shannon was one of the most popular DJs at the time. It's sad to have noticed its decline after the Canadian Radio and Television Commission mandated a percentage of Canadian content without realizing that much of the advertising revenue came from Detroit, Michigan. When I was growing up, due to the close connection of the automobile industries, it was like Detroit, Michigan and Windsor, Ontario were one city, despite an international border. RKO was the owner of CKLW, but I believe it was sold off after the CRTC mandate. Motown Radio was never the same again." And Gail Van Horn in Louisiana, editor of the Shortwave Central blog, also heard the CKLW feature. She wrote, "Good morning, Ray. Just posted your CKLW story on the blog. All of these are so interesting, and I get a lot of feedback from listeners. Yesterday afternoon, I monitored the Voice of Hope Africa Zambia on 4965 kHz at 1840 to 1900 UTC. Good signal for a story on studying scriptures from 1 Peter. As you may have heard, Noumea, the capital of the French South Pacific Territory of New Caledonia, which we visited last year, has been the scene of violence and civil unrest in recent days as a result of tensions between the indigenous Kanak population and the French and other citizens of the islands. The violence stems from a vote in France enfranchising recent new residents of the islands within the last 10 years to vote in local elections, thus reducing the percentage of Kanak votes. Unfortunately, there's no shortwave station in New Caledonia anymore, but Radio France International has been covering the situation extensively. Unfortunately, RFI no longer has English transmissions, but it does broadcast in French, primarily to Africa. Here was a part of a newscast from last week.
Il est 23h à Paris, 21h en temps universel. Merci de rester à l'écoute de RFI.
Paul Lonsin-Spinelli.
En Nouvelle-Calédonie, la menace de pénurie pourrait se coupler aux violences qui secouent l'archipel depuis lundi, alors que les autorités avaient considéré la nuit de jeudi à vendredi comme plus calme par rapport aux précédentes. La Chambre de commerce et d'industrie de la Nouvelle-Calédonie a décrété que 80 à 90% de la chaîne de distribution de Nouméa avait été anéantie à cause des émeutes et des pillages associés. Le procureur de la République de Nouméa a annoncé ce vendredi l'ouverture d'enquêtes pour identifier les commanditaires des soulèvements.
Radio France International there. There's been an independence movement by some of the Kanak population in New Caledonia for some years now, and foreign countries, including Azerbaijan, have been accused of supporting the Kanak independence movement. In recent days, the airport has been closed, cruise ship visits have been cancelled, and a state of emergency has been declared due to the violent protests. You're listening to Wavescan from Adventist World Radio. For the past several weeks now, we've been presenting a tour of the DocuFunk radio archives in Vienna, Austria, a repository of international radio history. QSL cards, recordings, and other documentation compiled under the auspices of Wolf Harent, host of the German Language DX program on Radio Austria International, which went off the air in 2003. In 2009, before Wolf passed away, Jonathan Marks of media network Vintage Vault got a tour of the DocuFunk facility from Wolf Harent. And today we continue to hear about some of the amazing history preserved in that archive.
When the Argentine invaded the Falklands, the chap that did the evening show went to the studio to say, "Hello, everybody. Aunt Margaret is still in the hospital. Jack will come home from the kindergarten tonight, play the things." What was scheduled to last for, say, half an hour or an hour, was a 17-hour broadcast, ending with the Argentine soldiers entering the studio. Connection with communication between the Falklands and London was practically impossible. But there was a radio amateur who had a friend in London, and he said, "Remember my old phone number? If I say first digit, this is how much we go up. Second, how much we go down to avoid jamming or interference." And that way they communicated. All the information you got from the Falklands was via, that means. He didn't tell the story for 25 years. We got the first and only interview from that chap. And BBC transmitted to the Falklands, of course, from Ascension Island. We have the recordings. The Argentine had underground stations. We have the recordings. The British had underground stations, had clandestine stations, had subversive stations. We all got Radio Malvinas. So this is Radio Atlantico del Sur. This is what you will find here. Yeah, this is a typical working place. Every card, every document must first of all be sorted, filed. We have just started. This is really a project that will take hours on end. Filing
awards.
Yeah, this is filing awards. Yeah, filing awards. Broadcasting, radio, whatever you have from all over the world. And
do you have any from the Czech Republic? The old Radio Prague Monitor Club.
They must be over there. You are daring me, huh? I'm not sure whether. We would have to look for it.
Okay.
Because it's just, we have just...
Are you going to go to the RBI DX Club?
Yeah, we have just started to...
I just saw Hungary, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Pretty Budapest.
This is all broadcasting. This is Sofia, Bulgaria.
They gave out diplomas, didn't they?
Yeah, this is really Berlin International. Yeah. You could... the master diploma was for 5,000 reception reports. Unfortunately, the GDR didn't exist that long to allow this.
Any other Budapest?
Yeah, here's another one from Budapest. There is no question that we have Radio Prague as well.
Monitor Club.
Monitor Club.
I think that's it.
Oh, this could be the one you're looking for.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one you were looking for.
That's it.
Well, it took us longer than expected. If these.
And it's signed
by
Peter Scala.
Peter Scala, yeah.
Who was in fact Ulrich Chip.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. We know. If this once this project is finished, I should be able to produce that award or one of our team members within, say, a minute. Unfortunately, it took us longer than that. We are still.
How many people are helping you?
Between 9 and 12.
Okay.
It always depends on how many volunteers we find, how many students are researching, and it depends on donations. If we get a little subvention or something like this, we can carry on with the project, and if not, we have to wait. We always manage.
Is there a danger that this could go away? Because we are going through an economic crisis, and we are also going through a period where some people, some broadcasters especially, are forgetting about the past.
Being an historian is next to be, a collector of ant eggs or something like this. We have no commercial value. Therefore, we are always if you sell it, you might get some money from it in eBay or whatever it is. But We are not part and parcel of commercialized items.
But you have an incalculable cultural value.
Yeah, but you can't put this into a budget.
This is somebody spent his whole time over years and years just to collect these cards. They tell stories. Cuba is something else. Peking is something else. Radio Australia is something else. The voice of free China, the voice of Vietnam. We are talking about the world's history. Radio Afghanistan.
And they were always amazing because I think the contest was how many times the announcer could say the word Afghanistan in the broadcast.
Things like this. Yeah, there was always happy stories, funny stories. Voice de Angola. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Radio voice of the gospel in Ethiopia. Ethiopia doesn't exist any longer. This is part of the life of somebody. And it gives me the goose pimples whenever I get a shoebox or something like this. And it gives me the feeling that we are the ones to carry on. Don't ask me if we are threatened. Yes, always. Ask me whether we think we will survive. Yes, I do, though. I cannot imagine that somebody, that there is not somebody who can feel how important it is to keep all these things.
That was Wolf Harent of DocuFunk in Vienna, Austria, speaking with Jonathan Marks of the media network Vintage Vault, which is available online. And we have WaveScan today with music from the Congo. This is from Radio France International. Thanks for listening to WaveScan, the international DX program from Adventist World Radio. Researched and written in Indianapolis by Adrian Peterson and in Los Angeles by Ray Robinson. Next week, the Zenith Story, Part 4, and our Japan DX report. WaveScan is heard weekly on KSDA in Guam, AWR relays in various locations, WRMI in Florida, WWCR in Tennessee, Voice of Hope Africa in Zambia, and IRRS Italy. Send reception reports directly to the station you're listening to. Reports for KSDA and other AWR sites should go to qsl@awr.org. Other correspondence, not reception reports, can be sent to wavescan@yahoo.com. I'm Jeff White at WRMI Shortwave in Okeechobee, Florida. Till next week, good listening, everyone.
This is the Adventist World Radio, and you are listening to the Voice of Hope. For more information, please feel free to write to us. Our email address is bible@awr.org, or you could also call us on WhatsApp at +1 224 222 0777.